1 Kings chapter 11, look if you would, beginning at verse 1. It says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." Now, I'm not going to really be teaching on this part here, but how many of you noticed there that God said, don't be with those women, but yet it says there that Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, I'll tell you what that's teaching you there is this. Just because somebody says, well, I love this person, or, you know, it's about love. I tell you what I hear. I hear a lot of people say today, well, I just don't think that the Lord will be against me loving somebody because, after all, God is love. Well, according to this passage right here, what did he say? He said, don't marry those women, but yet he loved them. Now, let me ask you something. Who was right? Was God right or was Solomon right? God was. Amen? That's just something there. I want you to notice that. All right, look at verse 3. "And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart of, as was the heart of David his father." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for these folks that are here this morning for the Sunday school time, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for our teachers that are teaching our kids and the young people there in the back room, Lord. And I just pray that you be with them. Give them wisdom today. Lord, I just pray this morning that you'll just open our hearts, Lord, and our minds to your word. And Lord, help us to be warned when we see these illustrations of the Old Testament, of the folks in the Old Testament, Lord. It's there written for a reason. It's for our learning and for our example. And Lord, I just pray that we will heed the warning this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we read this passage here in 1 Kings chapter 11, really what we see is just another story of human error. We see people messing up all the way through Scripture. However, this human error was a costly one because it devastated the entire kingdom in the long run, and it defiled really a spiritual life of a person. It's a story of human error on Solomon's part. We see a man who once possessed a very true heart, a person who loved the Lord, but now he is facing a heart that has turned from what it used to be. And when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, when you read all the way through there, it's almost like him saying, I've made a serious mistake. You know, when you read that, I mean, the whole time he's talking about vanity of vanities and all these different things. And so, you know, he was learning a lot. You know, the Bible says that he was the wisest man who ever lived. But may I tell you that he was still learning. He was still learning his entire life. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, that's another story. I mean, you know, you could use Solomon to teach so many different things, but that's another thing that we need to understand, is it doesn't matter how wise you think you are, you can still learn. Amen? We can all still learn. Now, last week we looked at the hard heart of Pharaoh and what that led to, and what we're in a series here that examines hearts and how hearts can change and the way our hearts could get. And, you know, during this series, I want us to just to be thinking about, you know, these different types of hearts, whether it be the hard heart last week or the changed heart this week, and ask ourselves, is my heart like that? Has my heart become hard? Has my heart changed from the way I used to feel to the way I feel now? And so we need to examine our hearts while we're on this series about the heart. And today we are going to be looking at the turned heart and what it can lead to as we look at the heart of Solomon. Now, as we look at Solomon this morning, I want to first point out the way Solomon was before his heart got turned. I turn back, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Back in 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, we'll be coming back here to 1 Kings chapter 11 later on, but we're just kind of looking about how his heart was at one time. 1 Kings chapter 3. I want you to notice there, the first five words of that verse. For in verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, first five words. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. And so when we see that, you know, one of the greatest things that ever could ever be said about somebody is the fact that they love the Lord. Amen? I mean, what a great testimony that is. Solomon was a young man. He was known as a man that loved God, and he also knew the commandments of the Lord. He knew that Deuteronomy 6:5 said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He knew what it said. And Deuteronomy 11:1, he knew that what it said. And it says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Solomon knew what those scriptures had to say. He understood what those scriptures had to say. So before his heart was turned, he loved the Lord and he kept the Lord's commandments. We then see that Solomon demonstrated his love for the Lord. Notice in verse 3, again, it says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. His life was portrayed, the life he lived portrayed the Lord that he loved. He walked with God just as his father David walked with the Lord. And, you know, this shows the real love for God when we express our love by more than just what we say, but by what we do. A lot of people can say they love the Lord, but you can tell how much a person loves the Lord by what they do. Amen? I mean, if you think it, real love for the Lord is expressed in our obedience to Him, doing what He wants us to do. And the proof of our love for God is not necessarily what we do on Sunday, but what we do on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, all during the week. You know, I tell you this, folks, I think one of the problems that we have in our churches today that a lot of people are just putting on a show. I think there are a lot of people that would like for others to think they're real spiritual, but they're not as spiritual as they think they are, number one. And it seems like there are a whole lot of people that are spiritual on Sundays, but they're not so spiritual during the rest of the week. Christianity is not a game. It's your life. It's reality. Amen? And how we feel about the Lord is shown in our actions. And a lot of people today talk a big game. A lot of people today talk like, boy, I really love the Lord. And they say amen when we sing those hymns, but yet they don't always live like the Lord wants them to live. In fact, they very seldom do it. I've seen churches where, you know, where people would show up on Sunday morning and they would be actually coming off a drunk on Saturday night. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is supposed to be real. We're supposed to be genuine. Amen? And that's a problem that we have. And so the proof of our love for the Lord is how we live and how we live for Him, walking in His statutes. Now, I'm not saying that we're saved by keeping His commandments, but certainly keeping His commandments is something that is pleasing Him. And if we love Him, we want to please Him. Amen? I mean, if we truly love Him, we'd want to please Him. I mean, think about your spouse. If you love your spouse, you'd want to please your spouse. You're not going to say, I love you, and then do everything in your whole power to not please your spouse. Amen? Because after a while, they might get the idea you don't love them anymore. When they say, could you take out the trash? You say, no. Could you help me out in the kitchen? No. Could you help me do this? No. And then you say, but I do love you, honey. I mean, after a while, I mean, your actions speak louder than words. And so a person can't say they love the Lord and not be faithful to coming to his house. A person can't say they love the Lord and not be involved in his work. A person can't say they love the Lord and will not do what he tells them to do. Real love is demonstrated in our walk and our willingness to obey him. And we see the love of Solomon was demonstrated in his walk at one time. And then also we see Solomon demonstrated his love for God in his worship. Look at there in 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 3 again. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Now, when you study your Bible, you're going to find out that nothing good came about those high places. Those high places is where they worshiped false gods, and that's where the groves were kept and those sorts of things. You say, well, then why did they do that? Well, the reason's found in verse 2. Look back at verse 2. It says, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And that is to say there was no specific or special place to offer sacrifice. Now, there should have been, okay, but there was not. But this didn't stop Solomon from offering sacrifices to the Lord. And boy, did he offer sacrifices to the Lord. Look at verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. I mean, can you imagine that? 1,000 burnt offerings. I mean, when you think about the magnitude of Solomon's love for God, you see it in the magnitude of his worship. In one place, at one time, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the God he loved. And may I say that the Lord's love for us is proved by his giving to us. How many of you understand this morning that he gave it all for us? Amen? That's how he proved his love to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He proved his love to us by giving. You know how we prove our love to him? By giving. Sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of thanksgiving, worship. When we give those things to God, we demonstrate our love to God. When we adore him, when we think about him, when we lay in our bed, I was thinking about how Brother Story last week, when he was preaching last Sunday night, he was talking about how he gave a passage there in Psalm, how the psalmist says, I lay and I meditate on the Lord in the night watches. You know what that means? That means that you're laying there at night and you're thinking, wow, isn't God great? Wow, he sure is wonderful. Boy, what a great God. Now, if you love God, that's how you're going to be thinking. Amen? I mean, you're thinking about how wonderful he is, and you praise him, and you worship him, and you make much of him. But I tell you this: there are a lot of Christians today that make a lot of things, make much about a lot of things, but God isn't usually one of them. How much are you making about God? How much do you think about God? How much do you meditate upon him? How much do you just think about him, and how much you love him, and how great he is? That's what we're supposed to be doing, and I tell you, that's what Solomon did. He showed how much he loved the Lord and the way he worshiped him. 1,000 sacrifices. 1,000 sacrifices. Do you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind this morning? What is there about your life that serves evidence that you love the Lord this morning? Is your love for the Lord both a profession and practice? Real love for the Lord to be demonstrated in our walk and in our worship. Now I want you to notice something else here. In 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, I want you to notice here that it said that Solomon loved the Lord, and it says that Solomon kept his statutes, and then it says that he offered sacrifices, 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord, and when he did that, the very next thing that you read is the Lord says, okay, what is it you'd like to have? You say, what's this teaching, Pastor? What this is teaching is this, is Lord always rewards obedience. Whenever you glorify God in what you do, whenever you praise and worship the Lord and you obey and you do what he tells you to do and you show your love for him, the Lord always blesses that. He always blesses that. Now some people have it in their head that God's going to bless them because they're a Christian no matter what, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Certainly we're all blessed in the sense, I mean if we're saved here today, we're all blessed in the sense that one of these days we're going to be in heaven. Now that's a great blessing, no doubt about it. But I'm talking about being blessed in your everyday life. The Lord never rewards somebody for disobedience. He's never going to bless somebody for being disobedient. In fact, when you read your Bible in the Old Testament, when somebody was disobedient, what did the Lord do? He rebuked him. He had a prophet go to him and warn him when he was disobedient. May I tell you, you say, well, give us some examples. Well, let's talk about David. How about when David, when he did what he did with Bathsheba? You don't read where the Lord started blessing David after that. I'll tell you, when you do start to read about when the Lord started blessing David, was after David got right and confessed that thing before the Lord, but not before. In fact, I remember, if I think about it, he had a little baby that died before he confessed that thing. You see, Lord never, he never blesses disobedience, but he sure blesses obedience. And when you make much of the Lord, and when you praise and you worship the Lord, and you show the Lord how much you love him, the Lord will bless you for that. And that's certainly what he did here with Solomon. He came to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what I shall give thee. They that honor the Lord will be honored by the Lord. God always blesses those who love him. Now, we read over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25, and it says, and the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now think about what that just said. More majesty on him than any other king that had been. David was before him. That's from 1 Chronicles 29, 25. And so that's how much the Lord blessed him. Now, you say, well, how did God bless and magnify Solomon? Well, first of all, there in 1 Kings chapter 3, we see that God blessed him with wisdom. Look at verse 6. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Boy, isn't that a great humble heart right there? He says, I'm blessed to even be a king here. I don't know anything. I'm like a little child. I don't know what I'm doing. That's a great way to come before the Lord. I'm just going to tell you. A lot of times we come before the Lord and we think, well, we sometimes come before the Lord as know-it-alls. But that's not how Solomon came. Look at verse 8. "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" So Solomon asked for wisdom when God appeared on him, and God gave him wisdom. Drop down to verse 12. And God said, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." God made him the wisest of the wise. The wisest man who ever lived. There was none equal to Solomon, and none ever who ever arose to be his equal. And the Bible says that Solomon was known throughout the land, and nations crowded around him because of his wisdom. People traveled all the way to Israel just to listen to Solomon speak. He was so wise. Now, flip if you would over to one chapter, 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. And look at verse 30. It says, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." You know, sometimes you'll read or watch on these Discovery channels and they'll talk about how smart the Egyptians were and all the great things the Egyptians were. That's child play compared to what Solomon knew. The wisdom that Egypt had was nothing compared to what Solomon knew. Verse 31, "For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalco, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of the beast, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes." I mean, just think about this. When you talk to Solomon, he could sit there and he could explain basically everything that you hear today when you watch. You know, one of my favorite shows back in the past was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. How many of you remember that? I remember we had come home after church and it would be on, and I'd run home and watch it after we come home from church. And I used to love it. I could still hear that music playing. Amen. And they would show all these animals, and they'd talk about the animals and how they would do the hunting tactics. And you'd see the lion sitting there waiting for all the animals to pass, and he'd go and pick off all the small ones, or the ones lagging from behind, or the sick ones. And I used to watch those things, and I'm thinking, boy, that was just so. I mean, I just got into it. I just loved it. Still love it to this day, actually. But may I tell you, Solomon already knew all that stuff. Solomon could tell you all that stuff. See, he had the wisdom. I mean, think about this. He could tell you about plants, horticulture. He could teach about animals. I mean, it was more than just giving proverbs to other people. It was more than when we read the book of Proverbs, you look at all those proverbs that Solomon wrote. Hey, that was just part of it. He had all this information. I mean, he was like a walking encyclopedia. And when people needed to know some things, they traveled to Solomon. I would imagine when people wanted to know about, hey, you know, what type of meat is best for us to make our men strong? Don't you know they came to Solomon and asked him that? Hey, should we be vegetarians or should we eat meat? Don't you know they went to Solomon and asked him that? And not only that, but when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, He's telling you basically that everything material on this earth is all vanity. The only thing that matters it matters a hill of beans on this whole earth today is spiritual stuff and trusting in the Lord. He had all wisdom in everything. Verse 34, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. God blessed Solomon with wisdom. Not only that, but God also blessed him with wealth. Back in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you turn back to the back of chapter 1 Kings chapter 3. And look at verse 13. It says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. That's something you need to underline there too. He never asked for wisdom. How many of you know today that there's a thing going on called the prosperity gospel? And they basically said, you know what, if you're a Christian, you can just name it and claim it and drive away in your Cadillac. May I tell you that it says here that God blessed him with wisdom, and Solomon never asked for it. You know what Solomon asked for? Wisdom to be able to handle God's people. And it says here, God says here in verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. His wisdom exceeded all others, and his wealth exceeded all others. God gave him a kingdom that exceeded all others in terms of wealth and possessions, and he was a man magnified by the Lord. You say, why? Because he loved the Lord, he kept his statutes, and he worshiped God. He showed that he loved him. Now you say, well, how great was his wealth? I mean, after all, we saw how great his wisdom was. I mean, how great was his wealth? Well, turn back to 1 Kings chapter 4. I know I'm just having to go back and forth, but the only way I could really show you this, 1 Kings chapter 4, and look at verse 21. It says, and Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 70 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river from Tishba even to Azza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. Drop down to verse 26. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls for horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. Remember, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Some people like to say that's a mistake in the Bible because there's somewhere else that gives you a different number. But notice here it says 40,000 stalls for his horses and his chariots. Got to make sure you don't forget to read all the words of the Bible. All right, verse 27. And those officers provided victuals for King Solomon. And for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also, and straw for the horses, and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. He was without question a man that God blessed in a very unique and special way, and it was because of his love for the Lord. Now, perhaps God will not bless you with the wisdom and wealth that he gave Solomon. If you love him today and you show him that you love him and you worship him. But I will tell you this, God will bless you one way or the other. You know, you don't have to have a great amount of money to be blessed. Amen? And if you don't think that's true, then maybe you should check out and do a survey of all those people who won the lottery and see how they turned out. Listen, you ever heard that thing, money doesn't buy happiness? It can't. It can't. But I'll tell you this, there are greater blessings than material things. Now, I'm not saying material things can't be blessings, but there are greater than that. You know, peace is worth an awful lot, isn't it? I mean, joy. To be able to face this life with a joy inside, a joy unspeakable, full of glory on the inside. And having peace. You know, a friend of mine in Missouri contacted me because his mother has pancreatic cancer, and she's dying. And he asked me, he goes, How am I supposed to, I mean, he's being trained for the ministry. He goes, how am I supposed to handle this? How am I supposed to be a good example for the Lord? I mean, how am I supposed to handle these things? And I told him, I was like, you know, have you talked to Mom? And he goes, yeah. In fact, she told me, she looked at me yesterday and said, I have fought the good fight of faith. And she goes, Pastor, it hit me hard. I was like, you know what the great thing is? I said, your mom knows that she's, it's that time and she's ready to go home to be with the Lord. And I said, brother, you can have peace in that. You have peace in that. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. What is that worth? I mean, if you think about it, to know that a loved one, let's say your mom is dying, and to know that you're going to get to see her again, I mean, that's worth everything. Money can't buy that, folks. I don't care how much money you have. They ain't going to buy that. The Lord can bless people. The Lord will bless people. The Lord blesses those who honor him. And he honors those that honor them. Jesus said in John 12:26, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So the Lord blessed Solomon greatly. And because Solomon loved the Lord and because the Lord had blessed Solomon, Solomon praised the Lord greatly by building the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 5, look at verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. Verse 5, and it says, behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now notice here carefully that Solomon wanted to build a temple. His purpose was unto the name of the Lord my God. You say, why do you want to build a temple? It wasn't because he could have just this great big temple for himself. It wasn't so he could brag and say, look what I did. He said, I want to build a temple for the Lord. I want to do this for the Lord. And so he planned and he prepared a structure that would be a testimony to all nations and people of the glory and greatness of God. The Bible tells us a little bit about that temple. The Bible tells us that 30,000 men worked in the course of 10,000 a month, plus 70,000 carriers, 80,000 hoers of stone and wood, 550 captains over to 30,000, 3,300 officers were put over the rest of the work and the workers, and they built a building that took 183,850 men 7 years to build. And what a magnificent building it was. Even back in 1974, when gold was not as worth as much as it is now, it's estimated that the cost of the temple that Solomon built would have been in excess of $500 billion. And that's in 1974. Why did Solomon spare no cost to build such an elaborate building? It was all for God. It was all for God. He wanted God to have a building that would honor him and bring him justice. He wanted a structure that would bring glory to his name. What a wonderful testimony we see of Solomon here. He was a man who loved the Lord. He was a man who served the Lord. He was one who received great blessings from the Lord for honoring him. Boy, what a good heart he had. But then something bad happened. Something happened. The heart of Solomon was turned from the Lord. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Kings chapter 11 and look at verse 9. I mean, to tell you the truth, when you read this, I think it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. I mean, when you see a person who had done so much for the mere fact that he just loved God. I mean, all the things that he did because he loved the Lord. I mean, all those sacrifices he did because he loved the Lord. When he asked for wisdom, you know what he asked? Really, he asked for wisdom not so he could just be wise, but so that he could do something for the Lord. He says, I want to be able to judge your people, God. And I need wisdom to judge your people. You see, it was about pleasing the Lord. That's how his heart was. Everything that Solomon did, he did because he loved the Lord. His heart was right. But then in 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 9. It says, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. He that once loved the Lord with all of his heart had now turned his heart from the God he loved. And when you look at the turning of Solomon's heart, we see two serious errors that he made. The first error that Solomon made was that he allowed himself to be spiritually distracted. In 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 1. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. The Lord said, don't be messing around with these women. Don't be messing around with these people from these other countries, because if you do, they're going to turn your heart away from me. You know, the biggest problem that we have, folks, the biggest problem that we have when it comes to living our Christian life is at the end of the day, it comes down to whether we believe God or we think we know more than God. That's what it comes down to. I mean, every time, listen, if how many times have you heard a preacher say, listen, there are things that you cannot do, in fact, most of everything, in fact, everything, you can't do in your own power. You got to have the power of God. Amen? But what do we try to do every day? We try to do things in our own power. We say, okay, I'm going to get the victory over this besetting sin. I can do it. I can do it. What happens? You don't get victory over anything. Why? You're counting on your own power. Now, you've heard it over and over and over, but what do we do? I'm as guilty of it as you are. What do? We keep on trying to do it in our own power. And what it comes down to is this: we didn't forget. We just think that we know more than God. Because God said you can't do it. Amen? We also sometimes think that we can mess around with sin and not get burned. We think that we can handle the temptation. When over and over and over you've heard preachers tell you you can handle the temptation, stay as far away from it as possible, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Stay in the scriptures, keep the Bible in your mind, keep on thinking about the Lord, and resist the devil no matter what. Give no place to the devil, because you can't handle the temptation. You know what we do? We think we can handle it. What happens? We fall. What, do we not believe the Lord? Were we not given an example in the Bible? The very first human beings was Adam and Eve. And God said, don't do this. Don't eat the fruit, because when you eat the fruit, ye shall surely die. The devil comes along and says, you shall not surely die. You know what Eve did? She believed the devil rather than God. What happened? Fall of man. I mean, if you think about it, all the problems that we have is because we don't believe God. You say, why did he mess up? How did all of a sudden his heart get turned from the Lord? Because God told him, don't go marrying these people from these other countries, because when you do, you think that you're going to be able to convert them. You think that you're going to get them to where they'll be converted. But you can't handle it, because they'll convert you. May I tell you, I have seen young ladies and young men, when they know good and well that Bible says we're not supposed to have fellowship, that we're not supposed to be unequally yoked between believers and unbelievers. I've seen young ladies marry men that they knew good and well that weren't saved. And I say, hey, you know what the Bible says? She goes, yes, but I think I can convert him. Uh-huh. Doesn't work that way. You know what happens? They convert her. Or she'll go through the whole life and him not come to church. Now, I'm not saying that person can't get saved, but I'm telling you this. When God says not to have fellowship, not to be unequally yoked, he said it for a reason. The same reason that he gave Solomon here the warning, and the children of Israel the warning. He said, listen, they will turn your heart away from me. Solomon didn't believe it, obviously, because he went and married the very people that God said not to marry. So he got spiritually distracted. Bible says, in fact, Solomon said in Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I think you and I could agree that Solomon carried a good thing a little bit too far. Amen? I mean, if you think about that for a minute, that's 1,000 women. Now, I'm just talking about the wives. I'm not talking about all the other ladies. I'm just talking about the wives. 1,000 women he's got around him. If he took each day to spend with just one of his wives, each wife only got to spend one day with him, she'd be able to spend that day with him once every 2.5 years. My, what a nice situation. They obviously all had to wear name tags. Somebody wanted to see a picture of his wife, he couldn't break out a wallet, he had to break out a family album. And think about the in-laws. Amen? When I read it, it just blows my mind. The simple, honest truth is he was living in double violation of God's law. A person who would once love God so much that he kept his statutes because he says, I love him though. And what did he do? He started to break God's laws. In the first place, God's plan was for one man, for one woman. Not one man for 1,000 women. And in the second place, God had forbid them to marry people from certain places, and God married women from every race and faith. And just as God had warned, they turned Solomon's heart to false gods. And you know, that's the reason why God tells us what he tells us. He warns us because he cares about us. And he warned him not to marry these women, and he did anyway. It became a spiritual distraction to him. They took him away from the God and eternal things. He turned his heart. Now, it may not be the 1,000 wives, but I see things turning the hearts of Christians away from God today. There are Christians today who once served the Lord faithfully and brought glory to his name, but they let something distract them spiritually. In other words, they allowed something in their life that they knew they should not have allowed in their life, and it distracted them. You say, well, what? I mean, Solomon, it was women that got him. Well, for many Christians today, it's a new car or a boat, a job or a house or even sports. Listen, are you being spiritually distracted today? Now, when you look at a car or a boat or a job or a house or sports, there's nothing wrong with those things by themselves. Nothing wrong with them. But if you use them wrongly, or if you let them be a distraction to you, then it becomes wrong. Amen? And that's where people mess up. Listen, I like sports. But you ought not let it become a distraction for you. You ought not let it take away from your Bible reading or your prayer time. Hey, listen, we all need jobs. But the problem is, there are certain things I like to have in life too, but I'm not going to keep on buying things because I want this and I want that and I want this. And all of a sudden now I've got to work 7 days a week in order to pay for it to keep a testimony. What's happened? Those things have become a distraction. Those things have got the Lord. How many of you understand the devil could use anything to get you away from the Lord? He knows your weaknesses. He knows these things. But so many Christians today, what they do is they allow things to come in their life that becomes a spiritual distraction, and the next thing you know, they're away from God. Well, their heart has been turned. His heart was turned from God. His heart was for women. And for you, it may be something else. But in either case, if it turns your heart from God, it becomes a spiritual distraction. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did eat evil, or did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. Talking about a man who once sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices for the Lord. Now he's offering sacrifices to these false gods that the Bible calls abominations. They first turn his heart away from the Lord, and then they turn him away from the Lord. Solomon, who at one time had a heart for God, now has a heart for false gods. And it's almost hard to believe that it's just the same man that we read about that loved the Lord so much. It's almost hard to believe that a man who built the temple for the Lord, just because he loved the Lord, now was building altars for false gods. Yet I've seen many the same thing happen to a lot of believers. I've seen believers who were once, what I consider to be spiritual giants. I mean, I've seen believers who once served the Lord, and I would watch them serve the Lord, and I saw the things that they did, and they did it just because they loved God. They spent countless hours preparing for Sunday schools, and they did work on churches and did projects in churches. And they asked him, "Why do you do it?" I just want to serve the Lord. But then all of a sudden, something happened. And now they're no longer serving the Lord anymore. Where they once, everything they did was because they loved God. Now they don't want to have anything to do with godly things at all. May I tell you, it wasn't God's fault. God gave the warning. Listen, we ought not let anything. You know what he said? He says that we are to love God more than anybody else in our life. More than our family, more than our children, more than our wives, more than our brothers and sisters, more than our mom and dads, more than anything. More than our jobs, more than our bank accounts, more than anything. But the problem is people, listen, we may not be worshiping those false gods upon that hill like Solomon was. And maybe we don't have 1,000 wives, and if you do, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. Amen. But we may not have those things. But may I tell you that the devil could use anything to distract you, and the devil can use anything to get you away from God. And I tell you this, we need to be careful not to think too highly of ourselves, because we could fall that quick. Now listen, if it happened to Solomon, a man who loved God so much that he did what he did, he loved him that much. Oh, and by the way, he was the wisest man that ever lived. And the mistakes he made was after he got the wisdom. We ought not think too highly of ourselves. We ought not think we know more than the Lord. We can't become unteachable. We need to make sure that we stay humble before the Lord, understand that we're nothing before him, and put him first no matter what. And if you don't do that, if you allow something to be a distraction to you, the devil will get you, folks. The next thing you know, you'll be away from the Lord. I'm sure Solomon never thought it ever happened to him, but it did. And if it could happen to him, it happened to us. Amen? Let's don't be distracted from the Lord. Stay focused on the Lord. And let's make sure we have a heart for the Lord, because if you don't, the devil will turn our hearts.